So, quick overview of the 7-Day Connect and how I see it as of December 20th, 2025. So, the first day is the day where we blow up everything that they think is in terms of the earth, the sky, the stars, the galaxies, the so-called universe. We go to the scriptures and it says that the Spirit of the Lord hovering over the face of the dark, deep chaos, watery. This is what it was, a murky, dark abyss. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God divided the light from the dark. Only God can divide the light. He can create light and he can divide it. He puts the line between the light and the dark. We, as his children, are to become his light on this earth. And it has nothing to do with the sun or the stars. It has everything to do with God. Jesus is the light of the world. So when we understand what it means to be born again, born in him, we're born into the light. We are transferred from the seed of darkness, the sons of the dark, to become the sons of the light. That's the call. When anybody ever goes up and has a near-death experience, they see light. Bright, 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 supernatural light. When it's described by Ezekiel or Isaiah or John in the Isle of Patmos, it's light, it's bright, and it's incomprehensible. When Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, John, and Andrew, he pulled back the veil of his skin and it was light, and they immediately fell down and worshiped. Let us understand all truth, all light emanates from above, the one who created the heavens and the earth. Day two is the stack, the up and the down. The authority comes from the utmost heights above the heavens. So God created a barrier, the firmament. He separated the waters that are above from the waters that are underneath. And that is a big deal. And if we don't understand that, we're not going to understand authority and the fear of the Lord. He is beyond our understanding in terms of our eyesight. He put himself above the firmament, above the blue sky. And there's waters up there. We don't understand why. It just is. God separated the waters above from the waters underneath, which is a good thing. When we think about heaven coming down, everything that's on the earth is above us. Animals, seas, beautiful land, light, life, birds, all that is up there above the firmament as well as down here, because it's a replica. God created a division up and down. The third day, God says, let us cause the land to appear, which includes the rock and the mountaintops and everything related to how water rolls down the mountains to the seas. God created basically a center that's filled with rock and land and vegetation, and in the outer rim was probably the seas in that first week. That's how most older theologians or people saw how they saw it from the book of Genesis. So God then, not only does he separate water from dirt and everything else, he creates seed, and he puts the seed in the ground, all kinds of seed for the trees and different kinds of fruit, herbs, spices, and he causes it to grow. There's no sun yet. It's just God, and it's land and sea. And every seed, he put it inside of each piece of fruit, each grass, like a wheat or a barley or some kind of herb or spice, the seed for the plant to replenish itself, to keep the cycle going, was built into the DNA of the plant itself. It produced seed that would fall into the ground and that would replicate what it came from. It's the whole story of all of everything. Humanity has a seed. Birds have a seed. Fish have a seed. All the stuff that we're going to see play out, it comes out of a seed. Day four, God says, let's put a sun in the sky to guard the day and a moonlight lesser to guard the night. And then let's put stars up there like a big clock that will keep time for the year, for signs and for seasons. That's clearly what it says. And God is above, the creator, the word of God who became flesh. Jesus, as the word, capital W, he is above the stars. He is above the sun and the moon, meaning he has authority over everything. So when we see what goes on in the world today with space programs and movies, basically people are worshiping the stars, which they are commanded not to do eventually when Moses gives the Ten Commandments. Fifth day, what does God do? He fills the seas up with beautiful, gorgeous creatures, big and small. Whales, crabfish, starfish, all kinds of dolphins. You think how beautiful they are when they jump out of the water. Every kind of maritime fish, both saltwater fish, stream, brook trout, bass, perch, every kind of little minnow. God filled it up because it's a living thing. Water is a living thing. We don't even know, it doesn't have a beginning, and therefore it is filled up with living things which replicate themselves, which have an ecology. Big things eat little things, but it works. Same with the sky. You have up, right? The birds are up and the water is in the air, and they can feast on the air as they fly with their wings, beautifully designed, intricate, all of them having different kinds of flying patterns, different kinds of sounds, different kinds of appetite. You know, some are big like hawks and eagles, and they can eat rabbits and squirrels and chickens, and then others eat things like worms, but they are their own species. They're their own unique design, beautiful colors, diverse, an array, a hummingbird with those rapidly moving wings and then migrating 1,000 or 2,000, whatever miles it is in the winter. The hummingbird, amazing creatures. All the birds, if we meditate on it, amazing creatures, and they live in the ether. They live in the air. It's filled with electromagnetic action and power, and they understand it. And God knows about them, because he tells us, you know, he sees, he gives the sparrows food. Everything's eating, right? Day six, that's when God fills the whole earth with living creatures, creeping creatures along the ground, all kinds of diverse creatures that make up the jungle, the elephant, the giraffe, the leopard, the lion, the antelope, the hyena. All of these creatures, they fill up the earth. And they're in the high country, they're in the low country. The cow, the horse, the pig, all designed by God on the sixth day. Amazing. And then the last thing he made is the human. Out of the dust, he forms us, which, let's just imagine, out of dust he made the body with all the parts, the heart, the brain, the lungs, the knees, the elbows, the muscle. All of that was built out of the dust of the ground, made in the image of something, which I'm going to argue was the image of Jesus Christ, who was going to come in the future, because he was slain before the foundation of all of creation, before it was ever brought forth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, was designed. Adam was made in the image of the future Son of Man, Son of God, Yeshua. And man is made, and man is given a commissioning. He is told to have dominion, to have authority, to tend to the garden, to name all of the animals, the fish and the birds. God brings all of his creatures to the man. So what does that mean? Man can be, he is supposed to be underneath the throne, in charge of everything, not the stars, not the aliens, not anything outside of our dirt, walking upon it. As creatures that walk on dirt, we are to be in charge of things above us, the tops of the mountains, the depths of the sea, the desert, as well as the beautiful rolling hills of Virginia, North Carolina. And we are in charge of the sea, the width and the breadth of the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean and Arctic Ocean, and all the oceans are under our authority and the creatures therein. And what have we done in regard to that since man has been on the earth? Is we have had times, especially in the last 100 years, where we have cut up the earth. We have polluted the waters. We have shifted the way things are. We've created islands out of trash, China, in the China Sea. We have nuclearized things with our waste, and we've caused disasters and poisoned waters. We've strip mined the land for coal. We've polluted the shores with manufacturing plants, just dumping into the ocean and killing the creatures therein. So therefore we have committed sin, and we have not kept to our mandate. We have not done what we were designed to do. We got to get back to restoring the man, means restoring his position as one having authority over the earth, but not to use it for his own personal ends and to steal from his brothers and sisters and to move the ancient landmarks, because God distributed the land out after the flood. I know I'm jumping ahead, but that was the rebirth of the earth and the seas. And Noah commissions his three sons to go out from where the ark landed at Ararat and be fruitful and multiply. And each took their territory. And when you move those ancient landmarks, which we have done, false nations, they're fake nations that were created by man, we also desecrate the earth. And we do not fulfill the mandate to subdue the earth, to manage the earth, to govern the earth, to be as it were a vice regent under God, tending to all that he made in these six literal days. And then finally, the seventh day is the day where we reflect on everything that God has made. We look around, we wonder, we see that it was made. God put the seed in the tree that's big and tall. He created the water from, the water just is, and it comes from somewhere, and it rolls down hill, as it were, over the rocks, and it's beautiful to look at, makes nice sounds, comforting to hear. Every grass blade, every grain of wheat or barley or rye, all the different kinds of fruit trees that are on the earth, every beautiful palm tree, banana trees, all the trees, grapes and the vineyards and the olives, and on, you reflect and you say, this is under my control. This is my job, to nurture the earth, to tend to the earth like a gardener. And then to worship everything that God has done for us, not the thing. You don't worship the thing, which we do often. We worship the maker of the things, the invisible God, but yet so real, so powerful, so near, Yahweh. Above the sun and the moon and the stars, we worship the throne above our heads. We rest in the knowledge that he has made us who we are. He's designed us specifically in our mother's wombs to do certain things. We have to believe that we have a unique purpose. Everybody does on this earth a purpose to fulfill, that we have to discover. We have to find out, what is my purpose? God has given each and every one a purpose, and we have to recognize that for ourselves. Therefore, we love ourselves, because Jesus says, if you can't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. So what does it mean to love yourself? It means to honor who you are as a man, made in the image of God, made to commune with God, to walk with God, to fellowship, to worship, to commune with each other, to love other creatures like you, to work with them, to recognize who they are and what their gifts and talents are, and to honor them. And when we honor others, we honor ourselves. And what did Jesus do? He raised up the poor. He raised up the one who was afflicted, the one who couldn't hear or see, or the leper who was filled with this horrible disease that made him an outcast. He healed them. And what did he do? He fed the 5,000 and the 4,000. He walked on the top of the water, showing power over every force of nature. We reflect on that. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. That's the goal, is to get you to understand who you are, who God is, and how esteem, what kind of esteem you have to have, what kind of heights that he lives on, the height of the height. He's of the highest point. And he looks down with mercy. He looks down with love. And he wants to build us up. He wants to give us things to do that make us happy. He wants us to be happy. But we will only be happy if we commune with him. Come to him, as Jesus says, come unto me, all you weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly of heart. And when people take that yoke and come under that governorship of Jesus, the true King, the King of Kings, when you come into the family of God as a true blood-bought, purchased, adopted son or daughter of God, you enter into the family of God. You are higher. There's no higher position. You're now a holy nation. You're now a priest. You're now a king. You sit on a throne. And of course, you're going to have things to do here now while you're breathing his air, while you're living among people who are lost and dying and confused and suicidal and mentally disturbed and hungry and thirsty for truth. You have an assignment now to simply take this message I just described about the first 7 days of time itself. You are to spread that good news as a minister of reconciliation, as an ambassador of heavenly truth, to bring people unto God, to bring them into the family, and to invite them to the greatest party that will ever happen on this earth. That's when Jesus comes down on his white horse, destroys every dark and evil thing. After he's purged the earth of all this evil, burnt it and refined it with his fire, he brings the mountain of heaven, heaven's Zion, comes down, his throne set up upon it, and on the earth we will worship, praise in perfect harmony with each other. We will celebrate on top of this dirt, on top of this earth that he purchased with his own precious blood. Royal blood. He owns every square inch, every gallon of water, every trickle, drop of any stream. He owns it all. The mining, the gold, silver, the precious things in the soil, the things that are in the air, as it were. All of it, he owns. You cannot take anything from his ownership. So everything's under his feet, and soon, our job is to bring, by preaching his message of love and mercy and grace and the invitation to get right with him by virtue of the cross and his bloodshed for you, finding atonement for your sins, your very real sins, we then bring things under his feet. You don't know, I don't know, who God's going to touch with the message of the gospel of the kingdom. We are commanded by Jesus. The last great words he gave when he said, all authority has been given unto me, now go. Preach what? The kingdom. We preach the kingdom coming down. We preach heaven coming down. We preach the Lord's prayer, thy kingdom come. That's our message. He's coming down to judge, but he wants you in the family before he judges the wicked. And there are wicked, and they will be judged, and they have been judged. But he wants you in his family. So you got his authority to do what? To take the message out. Nothing can inhibit it. Yeah, they can throw you in jail. Yeah, they can kill you even. But you did your job at that point. Once you're killed and martyred, you're done. You get to go run into the arms of Jesus. But he wants us to baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to disciple people as we're doing here on this property, Tree of Life Farms. 7-day discipleship and then move on to the next group, and then you can come back. You can come back and be reconnected if things get sideways. We'll pray for you. We have prayer teams. We will build you up. But we ultimately know that you belong to Jesus Christ. He is yours, and he wants you to walk with him individually under his eye. And he wants you to hear his voice and only his voice. And he wants you to carry out his will for him and for you to do to build up the eternal kingdom. So may God bless these words of oversight of the whole mission of the Seventh-day Connect.